Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American singer-songwriter Melanie McLaren is a classic fingerstyle guitar player that grew up playing classical but uses ambient, beds, and distorted trad instruments to punctuate her compositions. At her core, Melanie is a realist with a gift for language that extracts beauty from even the darkest reality and a unique ability to blend a tongue-in-cheek sensibility with timeless folk style. She released her debut EP, Kill My Time, in 2022, independently to enthusiastic critical reception before gaining the attention of Tone Tree Distribution in Nashville. Within a few months of the release, she had signed with Tone Tree, landed several coveted playlist spots on Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music, recorded and released new projects, and began touring. In October of 2022, Melanie released a collaborative folk EP of duets, Tadpole Emporium, with songwriter Lorcan O'Reilly. Fresh off of her first tour, Melanie released her second solo EP entitled Tourist through Tone Tree in April 2023. In 2023, after the release of Tourist, Melanie headlined her first US tour in the Northeast and Midwest. She also performed with other up-and-coming songwriters like Paul Moody, John Henry, and Quinn Devlin. She opened for Jessica Lee Mayfield and Charlie Starr. After touring extensively, Melanie realized certain songs especially captivated listeners live, so she released a live-to-tape EP entitled Songs Are Ghosts in May of 2024. Melanie is currently working on a new project, and the first single of which, Heaven Is, came out in June of 2024. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Melanie McLaren. Where do we find you in the world, and how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me. I am in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's home for me now. So thank you for calling all this way.
That's okay.
I appreciate it.
That's okay.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music or entertainment world, creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are currently?
Wow. So I didn't really start to pursue music professionally until a lot later in my life. I'd always played music. I started playing guitar when I was six. I started with classical. And it's always been a part of my life, and I've loved it, but I never really gave myself, you know, that permission to take it seriously as a career until after graduating college and just realizing I was interested in a lot of things. And it's hard to choose one. It's hard to know, you know, what's the right path for you. But I think eventually at one point it kind of becomes apparent that there's something that, you know, takes up a little bit more space in your life than everything yeah. else, and something that you feel called towards. So that was music for me.
So previously, before you finished studying, why did you not allow it to give it more prominence in your life? Was it just that it was a thought, or were there other elements that were not allowing it to come to fruition?
Totally. That's a great question. I think it was a thought. I didn't know a bunch of people pursuing music professionally. I didn't really know. It felt foreign to me, you know, it yeah. was something that I wanted to do, but it kind of seemed like one of those things. Oh, that's reserved for other people. You okay. know, that's something other people do. That's not, I don't know how I could do that, you know?
Okay.
So it was a very new territory for me.
So when you took it on professionally, were there aspects of it that surprised you that you didn't realize would be part of the process? Or did you just feel, okay, I'm just going to take this step by step?
I think right in the beginning of deciding to do it, it was a little, I was a little surprised. I kind of realized, you know, I didn't enjoy going to shows anymore, you know, because you kind of realize, well, I want to be doing this. You know, you see like you're something in your spirit is kind of signaling to you, you know, I want to be a part of this myself, you know, so it's hard to sometimes to just engage with music the same way I always had. It was hard to, you know, just listen to it and just be happy to listen to it. It was hard to go to a show and just be happy to be at a show. You know, I wanted to be making it myself, or even at that point when I'd go home and play someone else's song. You know, it gets to the point where you really feel like you want to be doing your own. But since moving to Nashville, and you know, I've been really grateful. I feel like things have unfolded for me in a really, really nice way that feels true to my path. You know, just by I'd moved here and then the pandemic happened. So I was, you know, towards my own voice and towards my own vision for my career, because I kind of just had the blinders on, and I had no idea what other people were doing. You know, how could you? You're in a new city and things are pretty shut down. So yeah, you know, there's roadblocks and there's just weird things that happen, but I think it was just a lot about trusting myself and my vision, and I was kind of forced to do that in a way that I probably wouldn't have done otherwise.
So lockdown for you in a way forced you to create a vision and a path and to be firm with that because there weren't really any distractions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really allowed me to focus on myself versus I think I moved here kind of saying, oh, I'll write whatever kind of music and I just want to meet everyone and do everything. And that's a wonderful, fun way to approach moving to a new city. But I think for me, really wanting to embark on this career seriously and to kind of establish my voice quickly. I didn't really want to waste time trying to think of, you know, or trying to find my voice more than you already have to do. You know, as an artist, your voice is changing every year, but I wanted to really find a voice and a sound and a style for myself. Able to do that during what was, I know, very globally very difficult time. I felt very fortunate to be safe and to be with myself and my thoughts, really, and just start taking my career seriously. So it was wonderful for me in that respect.
From 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song. Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
Great. Well, it's not easy every time. I wish it was. It's easy, I think, every time for the songs that feel natural, you know? You really have something clear that is kind of coming through you. You know, and I say like coming through you because I think that's how it is for me. A lot of the stuff in my songs, it's stuff I've been thinking about for a while, and then it kind of all just comes to this point where, okay, it can't really be unexpressed any longer. You know, I feel like I rarely sit down and say, I'm gonna write a song about this situation. I'm gonna write a song about this person. You know, it's just this kind of like amalgamation of everything I've been thinking and feeling and living, everything I've been consuming, you know, what I've been reading or watching. It just all kind of morphs into one thing and comes out when I start writing. But I don't think it's easy for something to come out, you know, it's easy for a melody to happen. I think sometimes that can be easier for me, like a melody on the guitar. I think every time I pick up my guitar and I can write a nice melody, you know, and be happy with that as just a melody. But I think to have a song that, number one, gets finished, and that feels like start to finish, that's everything I wanted to say. That's fully complete. Like that's an arc that is less common, you know. I can write stuff and write a nice verse or a nice chorus, and then it just doesn't, you don't feel like called to finish it, or it doesn't even feel like it has a fully, you know, this one thought and it's not a song. You know, I think a lot of the times we can have like musical thoughts that never translate into like a full song in the way that the songs that we're really proud of that have a bit more ease, that you know, that they reach.
When that musical thought comes through, and you write it down with the intention of it becoming a song, and then it doesn't turn out to become a song, does that ever frustrate you?
Yes, it does a lot. There are some that get reworked, ideas and images, you know, that I really liked, that I wanted to get into something eventually, you know. And I felt like I was able to do that. They ended up fitting into other songs well. So sometimes you can find that neatness, which is really nice, but I don't think that's all of the time. And I think you have to kind of like let things be what they are and not be too precious with it. You know, like if there is a melody you like, if there's a line that you like, a sentiment, an image, you know, you can write that one musical thought, and then you can try and like translate it into a different thought and put it somewhere else. Because yeah, you can do that, but why do that when I know that the songs there's songs that I've written in 5 minutes that I love. When it's almost like when you're spending time doing something you're not supposed to do, you know, that's time you could have been doing what you're supposed to do. So I'm just like, you know, if I'm working on this song that I really shouldn't be working on, that just really isn't going anywhere, like just maybe put it away and write the song that does feel like it's taking off a bit more for you.
Do these situations of when you're writing a song that you're concentrating on and that you shouldn't be doing, and there's another one waiting in the wings that's flowing, is that transition for you now getting easier for you to recognize, oh, there's that one that should be coming through, or is it still a bit of a challenge?
I think it's a bit of a challenge. I think I'm a stubborn person, you know, and
Yes, of course.
I think a lot of us are as
Yeah.
artists, and we say, I want it to be this way, you know, and I think just coming to terms with the fact that art isn't that way, life isn't that way, you know, is it's hard for people, especially when it is something that you're creating. You do think like, this is mine. I have that agency over it. This was nothing before. I can rationalize it and talk about it this way.
What is next? What's happening short term and long term?
I have songs that I've been working on, you know, all year. So, you know, they'll be coming out eventually, which is exciting. I've just released an EP. So, you know, just continuing to kind of play those out and promote them, but you know, really just I'm excited for everyone to hear the new stuff too as well.
And what do you enjoy about performing live?
I love it. I think I love the banter a lot and connecting with audiences. That's really something that I enjoy. You know, I think a lot of my songs can be kind of heavy thematically, and it's really lovely to play a show and be like, I'm not this sad person. These songs
Yes.
aren't that, you know, nothing needs to be that dark and heavy. It's nice to bring a lot of levity into the moments in between the songs. So I feel like I can strike a certain balance live that is hard to strike recorded. You know, I still definitely try and incorporate humor into my music or even into production in certain senses where I'm like, oh, okay, that's a fun sound or that, you know, like little allusions to things, but it's just different live. You know, there's a real human element that you can really only get live, and I love the feeling of being in a room, you know, where it's like it just has that feeling of, you know, being at dinner with your friends and family and like laughing in that real genuine way, you know, and just being fully present and engaging with the room. It's just that's so lovely to be able to do on a large scale like that. So I love the connection aspect, the humor, and just like the ability to show different sides of myself that a song can kind of get stagnant once it's recorded. It's like you record it and it's frozen in time that way. I'm done with that song, whatever, on to the next. But you realize performing it live how much life these songs really have and how they are able to change over time. Different lines become more relevant to you that weren't really relevant before. You start to understand, you know, your songs in a different capacity too. It's like, of course, I write all my own music, so of course I always think I understand it, and I do understand it to a degree, but then life just keeps, you know, illuminating different aspects of the songs too. So it's nice to feel like they have that really long life, and I
Yes.
don't always feel that recorded just because of the nature of recording, but playing stuff live, it feels like that you can just keep playing them for forever. And if one stops feeling that way, then stop playing it for a bit and come back to it later.
So I'm that guy that's normally standing up right in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. I'll take my phone out and take a couple of videos, a couple of photos, and I'll put it away. I notice that the people around me, they oftentimes 70, 80%, 90% of the time videoing, posting, tweeting, photoing. From your perspective, being on the stage and seeing a bunch of phones, do you feel that takes away from the energy of the interaction with the audience and from them being in the moment? Or it's just where society is at this stage?
That's a really interesting question, because I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately, because I just went to a gallery recently and they had a no phones policy, especially for preservation. And you know, I understand like them wanting to have us stay at a distance and engage differently. But I do think just the way that our society is right now, a lot of the ways that we engage with the world is through taking photos and videos of it. You know, people go on a walk and it's like their way of engaging on that walk is taking a picture of the sunset they saw, taking a picture of a funny sign or an animal that they came across. You know, I think at one point I would have just been such a purist and be like, I can't believe people have to take photos of this, or people are at this concert and they can't just listen to this, or you're at a museum and you're taking a photo of a painting instead of just looking at it. You know, why do you feel like you need to take a photo of a painting when you can just find it later? But I think it's kind of our way for a lot of people of just processing what's happening and interacting and engaging with it. So it's not so much about, oh, I have this photo that I'm going to look at after this concert video I'm going to look at after, but it's a way in the moment of being, oh, you know, I really like this part. I like where this song is going. I want to record it and capture it. Whatever, that's a little disruptive. I mean, again, you get a little annoyed if someone, if a friend does that to you while you're talking one-on-one, you know, just, but I think like if it's, I think a lot of the time it really is just a, like another lens that people experience the world through. And I want people to experience it that way, if that feels, you know, if that feels like necessary and good to them, or if they feel called to record and take photos, you know, it's like, just means that they are trying to engage with what's happening. So I think, I guess I'd rather see that than people not paying any attention.
Yeah. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time, because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay. Well, this is kind of easy because I feel like the way, you know, I've been listening to music a lot. If I'm listening to it on Spotify, they all come up there.
Yeah.
And so then it kind of gets you in this trap of listening to the same artist over and over again.
Yes.
So I think I have been doing that. So it should be a pretty easy question for right now. Right now I've been listening to a lot of an artist, Mick Flannery. I don't know if you know him. He's a songwriter out of Ireland. I really love listening. I listen to a lot of Warren Zevon. I really like him just because I feel like everything is so unexpected and you kind of don't really know where everything is going to go in a song, musically or lyrically. And that's fun for me. Kind of in that same vein, I kind of grew up, you know, not grew up, but had my formative teenage years listening to a lot of Lana Del Rey, which I think is something a lot of people my generation did. And that's another one of those where you kind of don't know where the songs are going, you know?
Yeah.
And she'll really throw a curveball. So I like stuff. I definitely listen to a lot of her, like out of habit, you know, it's my 15-year-old self pressing play. And it's nice. It's nice to have that. It's nice to have those artists that grow with you. That's something I grew up listening to. My parents, like, we've had a lot of like Gillian Welch, Alison Krauss, that kind of like revival stuff. So that's super nostalgic for me and just interesting. And Probably now Lucinda Williams too.
Okay.
Definitely been listening to a lot of her. I love her music. It's just like it's just every song is just so solid in the writing and what she's saying. It's so clear the way that she communicates. All of her songs really they feel tied to like a landscape and a time and place, and I just kind of feel like I'm on a journey whenever I'm listening to them. So yeah, they all change, like you said, but you have they all have, you know, some sort of quality where it's like I feel like I'm getting sucked into this certain world. You know, I think any artist for me that is really good at world building is going to be the ones that I go back to. I like how you phrase it, you know, press play instead of like, who are your favorite artists or what is your favorite song? Because that, oh, that stresses me out so much because I have no idea. But this is easy because it's like this is kind of that, okay, I open my phone and what in my head is music right now? What am I playing? So that's,
Exactly.
yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, it's like a reaction.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Well, thank you so much for listening. I just feel really grateful anytime anyone is, you know, listening to artists in this capacity because we get to say so much, you know, with our songs. And but I feel like that is just a little snapshot. You know, you talk a lot about difficult stuff in the songs. You talk about grief, love, life, you know, but it's nice to just to be here and be a person and chat for a little bit and, you know, connect with new people and experience life in this way that's a little bit more personal. So it's been lovely to be here, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.